The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
It is very good to be with y'all this morning, and we are excited, my family and I are excited to be here and have the opportunity to remain in God's will. That's the most important thing for each and every one of us, is that we find ourselves in the center of God's will. So hopefully, I always find myself there, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I always will, because we're human, aren't we? And we make mistakes, and we stumble, and we fall, and we got to help each other get up and help each other remain and get back into God's will. So this morning, I'm going to preach, and now I've been teaching school for the last 20-something years. So when I preach, I'm a preacher / teacher. It just, that's the way I'm made. So we're going to hit a lot of verses to get to the final point that I want to get to. But this morning, we're going to start out with Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to read a couple of verses here and then get to where we want to be. Verses 1 and 2 in Matthew says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship.'" Verse 9, "After listening to the king," that's King Herod, "they went on their way, and behold, the star they had seen in the east went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was." Now, this being Christmas season, we're going to use this verse, or these verses, to see what the church's will is. Or not will, but purpose. What God's will for us is, what our purpose is as a church. So before we can get there, we need to know what the church is. That's important. You got to know what you're talking about if you're going to talk about something. So let's look at what the church is. Matthew chapter 16 is the very first time that we see the word church mentioned in the Bible. And this is where Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was asking them, "Who are the people say I am?" And then he asked them in response, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Peter responded in Matthew 16, verse 6. He says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Verse 18, Jesus says, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Now, the church is built upon the faith that Jesus is the Messiah, Savior. He's our Savior. That's what the church is built. It's built on that faith. In fact, we know it's built on that faith because Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter reminds us that the church was built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, with him being the cornerstone. So everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are part of the church. So the church is not this beautiful building, which is very beautiful. The church is a beautiful people that believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. You and I, as Christians, we are the church. And since Peter reminds us that Jesus is the cornerstone, he tells us, remember, the church is built on faith in Jesus, then we would have to say that Jesus is the head of the church. If everything's based on him, it's not what you and I want. It's not what you and I believe as far as what we think is best. It's all based on what God said is best, what God's will is, what he wants us to do. He's the head of the church. We find that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. He's the head of the body, the church. Ephesians 5:23, Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. So Christ is the head of the church, and the church, us, we are his body. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Ephesians 1:23. The church, his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We are the fullness of his body. And he fills us, each and every one of us. As Christian, Christ fills us. That is Christ in us. So let's break this down. Y'all, this is one thing that I have to do. I have to break this down so Wade can understand. Okay? I'm not the brightest crayon. Okay? Maybe a dull tan. Here's the deal. Let's break it down so I can understand. The church is made up of Christians. We follow Jesus as the head of the church. We follow him as the head of our life. The church is the body of Christ and filled with Christ. We are the body of Christ and filled with Christ. Now catch this, because this is a tough one for us, because I'm going to hang my head in shame on some of the ways that I've lived and some of the actions I've done in the past when I read this. But if Christ is in us and we are his body, we are the visible presence of Christ in the world. You and I, as Christians, are the visible presence of Christ. Have I always acted like I was a visible presence of Christ? Sometimes my actions when I've been coaching on the ball field haven't been always the best. But those umps, they just need some glasses. It's just not... We have to be careful, because we are the visible presence of Christ in the world. So if the church, we are the church. So the question we started with, well, what's the purpose of the church? Really, that question is, what is our purpose? What is the purpose for each and every Christian? That's really the question that we're trying to get to today. John 8:12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says he's the light of the world. But then we're filled with Christ. So Jesus turns around and says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16, you are the light of the world. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, but because I am in you, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We need to let the light of Christ shine through us so that others might be drawn to him. We need to let the light of Christ shine through each and everything that we do, how we live. Okay, let's break it down again, because some of y'all out there saying, okay, preacher, what are you talking about light? I got to carry a flashlight. What are you talking about light here? Well, let me explain it to you in what I understand it to be. I believe that light of Christ is actually the love of Christ. I believe it's the love of Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. 1 John 4:8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4:16, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So God is love. And if God is in us, then love is in us. Well, let's get this right, because this world messes this up a lot of times. God is love, not love is God. Okay? God is love. Our world, we're shallow and we're selfish and we try to do things and make things understand, fit our understanding of things. And that's not the way it is. We don't fit things to fit my understanding or your understanding. It has to fit God's definition. It has to fit God's word. And usually we think love as being a feeling. It's something emotional. It's something that we feel. But in reality, love, it's a choice and it's an action. It's something we do, not something we feel. It's something we do. God is that source of love because He's in us. So His love is already in us. He's loved us enough that He sacrificed His one and only Son for us. Jesus is our example. Everything Jesus did while He was alive, and even in His death, is a supreme example of love. He loved us so much that He did what He did, that He went to the cross. He loved us so much that He stepped out of heaven and came to be born as an example, as a sacrifice, as that precious, perfect lamb. Everything He did was an example of love. And Christ living in us, we grow more and more like Him as we grow closer and closer to Him. So that love should just flow out of us. Now, that's a lot harder for some of us to love others. Maybe a lot harder for you to love others. Now, sometimes I'm pretty unlovable. Or at least that's what my wife tells me. You know, but God's flowing out of us. And that's what He's supposed to do. God's love always involves choices. He gives us choices because He wants us to willfully love Him back. God's love always involves actions. He came from heaven to sacrifice Himself. Our love should be like His love. As a church, as the body of Christ, we need to shine the light of God's love to everybody that we meet. We need to love people, and we need to choose to love people. It's an action. It's what we do. We choose to do it. Now, God wants us to love and wants us to be able to allow Him to work through our actions so that He can reach others. Remember what we read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's our actions. How do we treat people? How are we reaching out to share with people? Love is an action. It's not just saying something, but it's doing something. Sometimes it is saying something, because you need to say something. You need to tell somebody you love them. You need to tell somebody that you're there for them. You need to tell somebody you're sorry for their loss. You're sorry for the sickness that their family members are going through. That's showing Christ's love. That's showing His action. So the purpose of the church is to love. God's purpose for us is that we love. And this should be the basis of everything that we do as a body of Christ. If we don't have love, then what's next? Because God is love, right? Everything we do in life should be based on love. So, in everything that we do, we need to show godly love. We need to care for people. This is where we're fixing to get practical about it. We need to care for people, okay? God cared for us so much that He sent His Son. When they fall down, we need to help them up. Too many times when people fall down, we get on the phone and we start calling and saying, did you hear about this? Listen, folks, we don't need to be out there spreading gossip and rumors. We need to be loving people. We need to be there for each other. We need to listen. We need to laugh when they laugh, and we need to cry when they cry. It's important that people see Christ in us. And I promise you, Christ loves each and every one of us, and He laughs when we laugh. He laughs at me more often than not. And He cries when we cry. We need to let people know that we care for them. They're looking for what we have. They're looking for the peace of Christ, the love of Christ. And you and I have it, and we need to share it. Well, they say sharing is caring. We need to share what we have. But now remember this. We're each part of a body, and every part of a body is different. Even your hands, one's right and one's left, right? Correct? They're different. So each one of us are different. But God made you who you are and how you are. You don't have to be the next great evangelist. You don't have to be the next Billy Graham. God just wants to use you how He made you. God wants to use each one of us to show love. However you are, wherever you are, whatever you do, just care for people. Just care for people. Be yourself. Just love people. You know, some people won't ever come through the doors of a church building because they're fearful that they'll be rejected by the church. They're fearful. They're scared. And you know what's sad? Is we, the church, we're scared to go ask them or talk to them because we're fearful that we'll be rejected. So fear keeps people from joining us on both sides. Do you know that you've got family members or friends or co-workers? That may be one loving conversation, one loving invitation from coming to church. We've got friends and family members and co-workers. There may be one loving conversation, one loving invitation from coming to know the Lord as Savior. Church, we can't be fearful and scared to let our light shine, to let love shine. That first Christmas, the Magi from the east, they followed a star that shone light, and it came to rest over Jesus. It led them to Christ. So through this Christmas season, as we see the decorations, as we see Christmas stars everywhere we look, let's remember that we, the church, are called to shine His love. Let this time be a reminder of what God calls us to do, to love people around us wherever we meet them. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for loving us. And Lord, I thank You for Your love that You've given me, that You've given each one of us, that You've given the world. Lord, that we might be the church, the body, the visible presence, maybe the only Jesus that anybody might ever see. I pray that our actions would show that. And Lord, I just pray that as we go through the season, that you would remind us every time we see a star that we need to shine and we need to love. Lord, there might be somebody here today that needs to make a decision. I pray that today would be that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.